Thursday, May 21st. I'm Adam Azer with Chris Towers and Al Melchior. You are listening to three FanDuel winners from Wednesday night. What's up?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say nerds.
Oh, all right.
But we're FanDuel winners also.
I'm fine lumping myself in with the nerds. But am I the least nerdy on this podcast? Is that fair or what?
I don't think so.
Nerd power.
No. I'm really cool. Just because I like baseball stats and numbers doesn't mean I'm not out in the streets doing cool stuff.
All right, tell me the coolest thing you've done recently. That's what I thought, Chris Towers.
Oh, come on, you must have gone to a cool concert.
I've been to all kinds of concerts, man. You want to talk? If you like Southern rock music, boy, I got some cool concerts.
I don't, but that is kind of cool. Good for you going to a concert. Yesterday, I was watching the Yankees on TV, the Red Sox on one laptop, and the Blue Jays on another laptop. I had three games at once. Is that cool or nerdy?
Nerdy.
Yeah, nerdy.
Yeah, totally nerdy. Anyway, welcome to the show. Today we have some surprise pitching performances. Williams, Perez, Tsuyoshi Wada, Sean Markham, Phil Klein. We'll get to the bottom of it. Got some good stats for you. A lot of music theme stuff on today's show. Maybe some DFS advice later. If we have some time, we will grade your trades at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. If we don't get to the DFS advice for you on this show, and even if we do, you should definitely watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern with Ryan Bass, Heath Cummings, and the rotation of Al Melchior and Scott White. That's 6 p.m. Eastern on cbsports.com. Live video to help you out and get your lineup set for your DFS. All right, guys. Stat of the day number one. Boston, the Red Sox, they have allowed 2.9 runs per game in 10 games since Carl Willis became their pitching coach. And last night, Joe Kelly, 35% owned, very nice start, 7 innings, two runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. And you know, Buchholz has been pretty good. Everything seems to be changing a little bit right now. Maybe it's coincidental, but what do you make of this?
Yeah, I'm going with coincidence for right now because the two pitchers you cited, Kelly and Buchholz, have both been really inconsistent. I do love the upside of both. I'm rooting for them to put together some consistency, but until they do, I'm pretty scared to use either.
Stat of the day number two, Roenis Elias did not allow more than 2 earned runs in any of his final 10 starts in the 2014 season, but Elias only pitched 6 innings in 2 of those 10 starts and never more than 6, so not really getting the quality starts there. But so far, Elias, after a good start last night, he has a 2.76 ERA. Chris Towers, your take on Roenis Elias?
I think he can be fine. Someone worth taking a flyer on in a deeper league, but the fact that he can't get deep into starts is definitely a concern.
He did pitch 7 1/3 last night. Now, you guys know we have one listener who's a huge fan, who is also a huge Mariners fan. And she is Kay.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
And she was in our podcast, Rejects League, last year, and she tweeted me and she said the popular opinion, the buzz anyway, is that Elias will replace Taijuan Walker in the rotation. And what do you think about that possibility?
That totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, I wrote a pretty in-depth look at Taijuan Walker yesterday. And he doesn't have the secondary pitches. All of his pitches come in at 90 to 93 miles per hour, 95 miles an hour. They've got a little bit of movement, but he doesn't have, he's got a splitter, a cutter, and a fastball. He rarely throws his slider anymore. He looks like he profiles as a reliever right now until he can add a real breaking ball or a real off-speed pitch.
We're not reporting it as fact, but just keep it in mind. Elias pitching well, Walker pitching poorly. Iwakuma will be back eventually.
Yeah, the weird thing about Walker is his walk rate is super high, but he has one of the highest in-zone percentages in baseball. You know, it's not like he's wild. It's just he can't get batters to chase pitches, which you would think, with someone who throws as hard as him, he would have the kind of stuff where he could get batters to chase and miss. But he just, I think it's just that his pitches are all so similar.
Okay.
That he's not inducing any kind of, he's not confusing hitters into swinging at the wrong pitches.
Now it's time for stat of the day number three. All 5 AL East teams lost yesterday.
All right.
How you feel about that? AL, more like AL least, am I right?
I think you are right. might not be the last time that happens.
I got to tell everybody about FanDuel. Listen, if you're not playing on FanDuel, I don't know what you're waiting for. The three of us played last night. We all won. We're getting better and better the more we do it. Sign up now. It's one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. And every day you wait could have been a win. You get to pick a brand new team every single day. There are no season-long commitments. You could start at just $1. We got the offer code for you to use, CBS Pods, right? So the offer code has changed. Now you get the cool new offer code, CBS Pod, even newer and even cooler than the last offer code we gave you. Go to FanDuel.com, use that offer code, CBS Pod, and the first 50 people to sign up are going to get their deposit matched dollar for dollar up to $200 that gets earned as you play. So a bonus of up to $200 if you use the offer code CBS Pod, it gets earned as you play. And we'll try to help you out a little bit later on in the show. Big news for you. Albert Pujols left after being hit by a pitch on the hand. He is day-to-day. Mark Krause replaced him. CJ Cron was already in the lineup as the DH. Drew Pomeranz is on the DL with a shoulder sprain. Is it possible, you know, they said that the injury had been going on for a little while, that maybe Pomeranz, if you could stash him on the DL, maybe he'll be better when he comes back.
I doubt he'll be as bad or worse. So, yeah, no, I mean, maybe there's correlation there.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's easy to drop Pomeranz right now. He's pitching poorly and he's hurt, but maybe he was pitching poorly because he was hurt.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. Something to consider. No timetable yet for Jacoby Ellsbury, but he does not need surgery on his knee. Man, it seems so innocuous. And then all of a sudden he's on the DL and no timetable. Slade Heathcott could start against righties for the Yankees. Jose Fernandez should be back in late June or early July. You know what, guys? I think that if there's a team that's struggling right now and has Jose Fernandez, you know, if you're doing well, maybe that's a guy you target. You give that team something that they can use now, and then you take on Jose Fernandez and you stash him. What do you think?
I like that idea a lot. I mean, you know, it's still, you know, probably about a month before we see him. So that's, you know, particularly in a head-to-head league, or really any format, that's a long time to sacrifice something. But if you got a particular depth, that's a great way to use your surplus.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Marcus Semien has committed 16 errors.
Yeah, he it's not just errors either. By UZR, he is a negative 4.5 runs so far this season. The next two worst shortstops are a combined negative 4.7.
Now, do you have his player page up as you're looking at that?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, was he this bad before with the White Sox defensively? Because I didn't recall that.
He was a negative 1.2 in 64 games last season, so not quite as bad, but UZR per 150, still pretty bad.
Well, why can't they move him to second? Zobrist will be back soon. Move him to
they
second
could.
Base.
He rated out pretty terribly at second last season as well.
But at least
looks
it's
like
not
he was pretty good at third.
At least it's fine. Oh well, yeah, fine. At least it's not a premium position like shortstop. You know, it's not quite as important. But Lourdes could play second base. I mean, he's got to stop playing shortstop. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Is that a concern right now? I mean, if you own Marcus Semien, are you freaking out?
I'm not freaking out, and the fact that it is the A's and they've got the roster, well, because they're the A's, the roster is composed the way that it is. I would like to see him move to third base and have Zobrist play shorter or the outfield when he comes back.
I think they're an organization and a team that will take the entire picture of production into account, and the defense is bad, but the offense is good. I think they'll be okay with it.
By the way, UZR stands for Ultimate Zone Rating Measures.
People
defense.
Know UZR.
I know.
It's not a proprietary thing.
It's getting out there. Brian Price would not commit to Jason Marquis staying in the Reds rotation.
Yeah.
Michael Lorenzen's going to start next Tuesday against Colorado. Lorenzen and Iglesias both pitched out of the bullpen yesterday. Iglesias did not pitch well. Thoughts on the Reds right now?
On that situation?
Yeah. I don't care about your thoughts on that, you know, all of the Reds.
Okay. I didn't really think so. Yeah, I mean, I still think both Lorenzen and Iglesias over time will find their way into the rotation. Just the thing with Iglesias is just we've seen the upside, and it's so enticing, but we haven't seen it consistently. You know, so I worry that it's gonna be deeper into the season that he finds a regular place in the rotation. It's, you know, maybe gonna be too late to help a lot of owners.
Quick trivia question: as I'm looking it up now, how many games out of first place in the National League Central are the Reds?
9.
That sounds about right. I'll go 8.
You guys, very impressive. The answer is 9.
There you go.
18-22. And 9 games behind the 27-13 Cardinals, who just keep on rolling.
And, just obnoxious.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And in Baltimore, Mike Wright's going to start this weekend for the Orioles. Bud Norris should be back next week for a doubleheader. It seems conceivable that if Wright pitches well, he makes a strong case to stay in the rotation?
Oh, I think so.
All right. So keep an eye on that. Later on, we've got Al's rankings adjustments, and Al will defend Michael Wacha, who we suggested might be a sell-high candidate. We'll find out why Al loves Michael Wacha oh so much. Some surprising starts from yesterday. Williams Perez struck out 7 Rays in 5 innings, gave up just 1 run on 6 hits with 1 walk. Tsuyoshi Wada, 9 strikeouts, but he only made it through 4 2/3 in his 2015 debut. That was at San Diego. Wada had a 3.25 ERA and a 1.24 whip last year and a decent strikeout rate. Sean Markham pitched for Cleveland, and he gave up 2 runs on solo shots with 6 strikeouts, no walks, and 6 2/3. And Phil Klein for the Rangers. This was a shock to me. I thought the Red Sox were going to have a huge game. They had a lot of loud outs in that game. But Klein, 1% owned, 1 run in 5 1/3, and 4 strikeouts. So Williams Perez, Tsuyoshi Wada, Sean Markham, Phil Klein, all are widely available. Yeah. Wada the most owned at 15%. What do you guys think?
Well, we'll start with Klein. And Heath, you know, uses the term a lot, of a high variance player. And I thought that Klein had a pretty good chance of getting clobbered. But I also thought he had at least a slight chance of doing about this well, because as a reliever, particularly in the minors, he's been a really good strikeout guy, and in the minors has been really effective. And I didn't think he would go even this deep into the game. I gave some thought to doing a tournament lineup with him. I just thought, well, he's probably going to pitch like less than 4 innings. But I probably would have taken this start in a tournament.
Yeah.
Well, I can't. That's crazy. I can't believe you were considering that. Good for you.
Well, I didn't do it. So
well, no, but I mean, I was more like stack Red Sox.
Brought Anderson lineup instead, but
okay. Well, does anybody want to own these guys? And here's just something really interesting on Wada. Justin Upton said he's got kind of a funky delivery. We couldn't figure him out the first time through the order. We started to figure him out. You know, I'm paraphrasing. We started to a little bit the second time we saw him. So last year, Wada's ERA, first time through the order, 0.89. Second time through the order, 3.0. Third time through the order, 9.75.
What a stat.
Hey, nice. That was, yeah.
There's endless fun with that.
Yeah, Wada, I hope he stays relevant for the puns.
I actually kind of like him. I think, I obviously don't think he's any kind of ace, but I would take a flyer on him in a deeper roto league.
All right. Well, how about Williams Perez? How about Sean Markham? Anybody care?
Markham, I think this is the 2 home runs. That's the part that kind of confirms my biases against him.
Mm-hmm.
I did used to like him as a whip specialist, and I think if you get him in the right venues, he could be good at times and help you with whip. But given that his home starts are going to be in Cleveland, I don't like that so much for him. So I think this, you know, could wind up being the best start of what, you know, could ultimately be a short stint in the rotation for Markham. And Perez, I don't know where that came from at all. I gave no thought to playing a tournament lineup with him or anything. I thought he was going to get clobbered. And my only explanation is it's the Rays.
Yeah, it is the Rays. All right, we begin our music theme show with this next category. Do you guys have the notes in front of you? Do you see the name of the category?
Yes,
I do.
Do you guys want to try to harmonize?
Oh, no. That's, I think that could end pretty badly.
Yeah, it would be pretty terrible. I'm just going to read it. is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
I felt like that was pretty gutless on my part.
No, dude, I didn't want to do it. It would have been, it's so hard. I mean, Queen, come on. That's like going
Mama
from.
Mia, Mama Mia.
There you go. That's just too hard of it. We haven't done any harmonies together. That would have been starting out with way too difficult of a challenge. So I got a few guys here. It's like six of them. And I want to know, based on what they've been doing so far this year or lately, is this the real life or is this just fantasy? I don't mean fantasy baseball. You know what I mean. Ryan.
Fantasy baseball.
Yeah, well. Ryan Braun, top 7 outfielder overall. Last 28 days, top 3 outfielder. He's got 9 home runs in his last 28 days, 10 home runs on the season. So after a slow start, Braun's been really great. Is this the real life or is this just fantasy?
I see a silhouette of a pretty good outfielder.
Thank you for the commitment, Al.
Yeah, follow through. That's what it's all about today.
Good.
I think he's, I won't say all the way back, but closer than I expected, to be honest. So I'm very, very encouraged by this. I'd say it's like 90% real.
Okay. Chris, agree, disagree?
Definitely don't disagree. He's never going to reach the point that he once was at, but I think borderline top 10 outfielder rest of the season.
And Brandon Crawford, 84% owned. He is the number 2 shortstop in fantasy. 28 years old, batting .298 with 6 home runs, a .511 slugging percentage. Previous 3 seasons, this is the average slash line for Crawford. .248, .314 on base, .368 slugging. The slugging got better each year, but, you know, very small increments. So is this the real life for Brandon Crawford, or is this just fantasy? And, like, if you were on your team and there was someone out there that you wanted to pick up, are you saying, Mama Mia, let me go?
No. I'm...
No, 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 no.
Nice.
Looking back through the last 4 seasons, his hard hit percentage was 28.7%, 25.1, 28.6, and then this season, 40.2%. Seeing the ball extremely hard. He's had stretches like this before. And he's gotten consistently better as his career has gone on. I think at the horrible position of shortstop, I think he's a decent starting option.
Now, but obviously not top 2. So, you know, Al's got him 24th.
I think that's too low. Come on, Al.
All right, let's
come
go.
Come on, Al.
Let's go to the rankings.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, as bad as shortstop is, there aren't that many guys where I think it's so obvious that you're putting, like, you're not going to put him ahead of Peralta, which put him ahead of J.J. Hardy, Starlin Castro, Zach Cozart, Jung-Ho Kang, Alcides Escobar, etc.
Yeah, and you were still another 6 spots away from where I have Crawford.
Yeah.
I could definitely see putting him ahead of Brad Miller, who I've got 23rd. But I don't know. After that, I mean, Wilmer Flores, I like his power for shortstop.
So you're not really buying it, Al, with Crawford?
I don't see, maybe I could put up a couple spots, but I don't see getting him into my top 20. So I guess I'm not that much of a believer in Crawford. I'll buy into the fact that he has improved incrementally. So he may not regress. I don't think he will regress all the way back to his previous levels, but yeah, not enough to get him into my top 20.
Oh, Tim Lincecum. I'm not doing it. I swore it out. I said I'm not doing it. You didn't believe me, but I will not pick up Tim Lincecum. I will not pick him up. Sam, I am. He's 75% owned, 7 scoreless, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, and Lincecum has a .208 ERA. Is this the real life? Or is this just fantasy?
Not quite. I picked him up, I think, about 3 starts ago, and then I dropped him this week. But it wasn't because I really stopped believing in him, even though I think it was his last start that was the bad one. It was just that there was, I think it was Ruby De La Rosa, somebody I wanted to pick up, and Lincecum was the odd man out. So I think that, for me, defines who I think he is now, which is viable yet fringy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, someone who's fine to have when things are going well, but you can feel great about dropping him also.
How about Tyson Ross? Yeah, not a bad start. Only 4 hits, 3 runs, but 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, and he just hasn't been great. He's got a .393 ERA. A lot of strikeouts, but a ton of walks. Only 3 home runs allowed this year in 52 2/3. That's good for Ross. Is this what Ross is, I'm sure you're going to project a lower ERA, but it's about a run above what it was last year when it was under three. So who is Tyson Ross?
For now, I'm going to say I think his ERA rest of season is going to be closer to this than it was last year.
The Padres' outfield defense, I think, has been really bad this season. So that's definitely a concern for their pitching. His control has been bad. The 65% ground ball rate is kind of absurd, though. That's what he's at right now. I think he'll definitely be lower. I would say I'm going to cop out and say midpoint between where he was last season and where he is now.
Are we buying low on Tyson Ross?
I would, yeah.
And I'm not. I'm very concerned about the control.
His FIP and his XFIP are both within 0.1 of last season.
Yeah, I mean, Al, you're worried about the control, and I get that, but he didn't really have great control last year. So do you think that was just the anomaly?
When his control was better?
No, I mean that he had, I'm going to look up his numbers, but
he's actually,
because his control early on was pretty bad, and then he improved it to the point where it was decent.
I meant like the ERA was the anomaly with last
you know,
year.
I mean, look, he could get back to where he was last year. It's just we haven't really seen any signs of it this year. So I wouldn't call it an anomaly. I just don't like the way he's trending so far this year.
His swinging strike rate is up again for the third straight season. He's throwing more pitches in the strike zone than he did last season. I would definitely buy low on Tyson Ross.
So he's not getting chases?
Yeah, his outside zone swing rate is a little bit lower. His overall swing rate's a little bit lower, but I think he's fine. It's possible that, you know, maybe the pitch framing data would tell us something about the Padres catchers.
That is interesting.
I haven't looked at it.
Losing Rene Rivera.
Yeah.
Gaining Derek Norris.
And
if there's anything to that, that's not terribly encouraging.
And his walk rate is five. Tyson Ross we're talking about here. Walk rate is 5 walks per 9, which is a career high. Last 2 years it's been 3.2 and 3.3. And he's shown that if he gets down to 3.2, 3.3, he can be a very effective pitcher. But here's a question I have about FIP. You know, if you're going to talk about his FIP, which is 3.28.
Yeah.
Last year it was 3.24. 2013, 3.20. So basically the same. That's fielding independent pitching. Well, why should I care about that when you just mentioned that his fielding behind him isn't as good as it used to be?
No, that's a decent point. But he is also the steps backward that they took as a defense were mostly in the outfield. I think they still rate out pretty good defensively on the infield. So for a ground ball pitcher, you would think that would be less of a concern. So I think that's something that over time could work out in his favor more so than it would for, you know, a fly ball pitcher in the Padres rotation.
Yeah, for him, I pretty much buy I buy the ERA, I think, more than the FIP and the XFIP. And not so much even the defense, but just the fact that he's got a 331 BABIP right now. But as a ground ball pitcher who, you know, doesn't get many easy, you know, like he doesn't get a lot of infield flies, there's not that much room for regression. I mean, if he finishes with a 310, 315 BABIP, that's really no upset.
Did you like Tyson Ross coming into the season?
Yeah, I did.
So you think you can love him and leave him to die? Oh, baby.
Yeah. Gosh, I hope there are no listeners who don't know the song, because they are just baffled right now.
They know half of it now.
Yeah. Carlos Rodon, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts. He has 19 walks and 21 Ks and 22 and a third. Is this the real life with Carlos Rodon? Just too wild, really, to be a good fantasy option.
Yeah. I feel like he has no idea where his fastball is going when he throws it. But, you know, control wasn't really a big issue for him in college. It's possible that that's just the result of him being so overpowering that hitters would walk up to the plate and swing at anything they saw. But I feel like this is just a bad stretch for him. He's so talented.
Okay, so you wouldn't drop Rodon at 78% own right now?
I think his upside's too great to drop.
Okay. And let's go to Jared Weaver and finish it out there. How about the last 3 starts for Jared Weaver? 23 and a third, 13 hits, only 4 earned runs, 1 homer, 4 walks, and 13 strikeouts. And he's done that against Houston, at Baltimore, and at Toronto. Jared Weaver, these last 3 starts, is this the real life or is this just fantasy? I'm calling it fantasy.
Yeah.
We agree?
Yeah, I just... The dude's going up there with an 82-mile-an-hour fastball. I mean...
Yeah, and I did watch him last night, and it was impressive, you know, for him to be able to do what he did and get a lot of swings and chases and all that, but I feel like once people figure it out, it's going to be ugly. It's already been ugly.
You know? Yeah, I'd say it's probably fantasy. I mean, I was sort of intrigued, especially, you know, just before this start, because the last 2 starts really kind of came out of nowhere. He seemed to be on the pretty slippery slope to decline. And he's not only been, you know, good like he was before, but arguably better, because with that 82-mile-an-hour fastball, he has been getting the whiffs, as you pointed out, Adam. So if he keeps this going, he got 10 more last night. I think there's something potentially very, you know, very interesting and compelling here. Control wasn't great last night, so a little bit of backsliding there. But I feel like I can't completely dismiss these 3 starts, because on the whole, they've been good and consistently so.
And that's Jared Weaver. Let's go to the bullpen real quick. Fernando Rodney gave up a run on 3 hits. He did get a save, his 10th of the year. Last 5 appearances for Rodney, 4 earned runs in 5 innings on 7 hits. So, Chris, you said that, you know, the Mariners' bullpen's so bad, there's no one that could... What about Carson Smith, though? He pitched the 8th. He's been really good.
I mean, he would have to have jumped a couple of guys in the hierarchy. I feel like they're going to give Rodney a pretty long leash, just because throughout his career, he's been so up and down that, you know, the bad doesn't necessarily mean more bad is coming with him, I think. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that I feel like that's how you can look at Fernando Rodney, that he's always going to be someone that has huge peaks and valleys, and eventually they'll give him a chance. I think they're going to give him a chance to find that lower end of his scale of production.
I agree with all that. And all that said, people are always asking us, who's the closer in waiting to target?
Yeah.
So if you're in the league where you have room to stash somebody as a speculative save source, I do think it has to be Carson Smith.
At this point with everybody else, because they've got a couple other guys in the bullpen that have gotten save opportunities in the past or have been good relievers in the past, and they're just not getting it done. Carson Smith really the only person in their bullpen that's pitching well at all right now.
Yeah, well, but I don't think I would own Carson Smith over Sean Tolleson, who's 14% owned.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't either. I'm basically counting Tolleson as the closer and not one in waiting. I guess technically he is, because it's committee.
But he got the save last night, and two nights ago, Feliz pitched in a non-save situation.
It really bothers me that there's 2 Tollisons with the first letter S to start their first name, because it's always like, is it Steve or is it Sean?
Yeah. It's Sean. And yeah, don't make that mistake, because last year, this might have lost me a league. I picked up J.D. Martin, who was pitching in Japan. Instead of J.D. Martinez, and the guy, and I lost in the finals to Herkum, who picked up J.D. Martinez.
Good job.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I would definitely rather own Tolleson than Smith. I think Feliz, his hold on the job is a lot more tenuous.
And what about Burgos in Arizona? Last night, Ziegler came in the 9th, and he pitched a scoreless inning, but it was a 6-1 game. And you know, Tolleson's interesting too. Like, how would you compare Tolleson with Burgos? Because Tolleson has just given up so many base runners lately. Not giving up runs, but between Burgos and Tolleson, I don't know that if you guys feel like one of them is a great option. I don't see AJ Ramos caliber pitchers here.
No. I think Burgos' walk rate has been so high that it's going to be really difficult. You know, anybody who had Carlos Marmol on their fantasy teams a long time ago knows how frustrating it can be to have a closer who can't find the strike zone, even if he has unhittable stuff. Chip Hale was... I was doing my research for my closer column. Chip Hale was non-committal about the 9th inning, but it sounded like he found Burgos to be a more intriguing ninth inning option than Ziegler, who...
Yeah.
Managers have this... We have this bias against sidearm and submarine pitchers where we just don't believe that anything they do is sustainable. And so, like, sidearm and submarine pitchers never get ninth inning roles, no matter how good they are. And I think that's kind of the problem with Ziegler.
All right, let's pick it up a little bit here. Got some music tweets for you from Brandon Massey. He says, I think of the Ricky Martin song, She Bangs, when speaking of Adam, harang, harang.
That's solid.
Yeah, it's good. We got AJ. He says, too bad baseball is a summer sport. If it happened around Christmas, we'd all be walking around the Christmas tree. As
that is
Michael Walker.
Really close to being inappropriate.
It is? Walking around.
Just let it go. Just
yeah, okay, you'll explain, that, explain it to me afterwards. Bird. Nick Seam, Bird on Twitter.
Like 4 hours.
He said that, he said one that I'd never heard of this one. Have you heard of Passionate Kisses by Mary Chapin Carpenter?
Yeah, I know the tune.
Can you, Angelton Simmons?
Does it work?
Yeah? All right, Angelton Simmons in the tune of Passionate Kisses by Mary Chapin Carpenter. And, Ben from Los Angeles has some pitch perfect team names for us.
I'm a big fan of this.
The Barden Colabellas? Walk, excuse me? I don't get that one, Chris.
They have the thing in the movie where they replace things with Akka.
Oh, okay. And you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Yes.
That's really good. That's
nice
really
work.
Good.
And now for some baseball tweets from Adam White. Yeah, good job, everybody. Am I crazy for dropping Christian Yelich to pick up Rusne Castillo?
I think so.
Yeah, it feels like it, but man, Yelich has been... He's looked better over the last, like, three games, but that's not exactly a super encouraging sample size.
Oscar Garden, is it time to dump Jorge Soler? Jimmy Paredes is available.
I'm a little worried about Soler, and I'm a little hopeful for Paredes, but I'm not believing enough in Soler's slump and Paredes's great start to make that move.
It depends on, I think this is one of those situations that depends on what you need, right? If you need somebody who's going to contribute right now, I think you'd rather have Paredes for the short term, but in the long term, I think it's reasonable to expect Soler to be the better player.
Next category is called Al Loves Michael Wacha. So we talked about
what's
it yesterday.
What's this about?
Well, yesterday we mentioned that Waka's got a 2.13 ERA, but he has a 3.77 FIP, a 4.12 xFIP, 85% strand rate, 2.31 BABIP, yet you're not worried at all.
No, I'm not. Yeah, those peripherals are not sustainable. I'm not going to deny that. So if there is some regression, I don't think it's going to be all the way to the xFIP because he is not your normal pitcher when it comes to preventing extra base hits. And as we've seen in the last two starts, that he is capable of getting more swings and misses and strikeouts. I'm not saying because he's done it in back-to-back starts that he's back on track there, but I don't really believe he's going to be a 5 or 6 K9 guy rest of season. If he's 7, 7.5, I'm going to be perfectly happy with that combined with everything else that he does. And that's not even his upside.
Al, what were some of the more interesting rankings adjustments you made?
Well, let's have a look-see, and I apologize because I'm not really prepared with, you know, the list top of mind, so I'm just going to have to take a look. And Cano, I dropped to 6th.
Ooh.
Behind who? Head-to-head right now, but I don't think this is going to be very different from my roto rankings.
And who did you drop Robinson Cano behind?
Okay. I'm pretty sure I had him 3rd, so I dropped him behind Dozier, Kinsler, and I moved D. Gordon up. And this is head-to-head. I've got Gordon 5th now. I think I had him maybe 8th in head-to-head.
So right now in a points league, head-to-head is points in our
points, correct.
Vernacular. You would take D. Gordon over Robinson Cano.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Okay. Any other big ones you want to highlight here?
Okay. And then staying at second base, I moved Kipnis up, but just to 10th, which I have a feeling is probably not going to be high enough for a lot of people. But I had him in the top, I think I in the top 5 to start the season or early in the season. And I dropped him down around 14 or 15. So I've moved him partly back up, but what he's done is largely BABIP driven. I'm pretty skeptical he's going to be able to sustain it, but I'm also acknowledging that he's not fallen as far as I thought he did.
Any more?
Shortstop, I think we talked about this one on the air maybe about a week ago, that I really need to move Simeon and Simmons up. So they've moved up from the like low teens to Simeon fifth, Simmons sixth. So whereas before I had, you know, four shortstops and then a huge kind of cliff dive after that, now I've got a top six and a huge cliff dive to Elvis Andrus at seven.
I guess that means you're not worried about Simeon with all the errors.
No, I mean, it's slightly concerning and annoying, but like I said, I think, you know, the A's organization will find a way to keep his bat in the lineup.
Did you give any thought to moving Hanley above Troy Tulowitzki?
No, and in fact, I still have him, and I'm looking at points. I've got him behind Reyes. Probably should have maybe given that some thought.
I was thinking, like, even with Reyes hurt, I think that it makes sense to just kind of leave him where he is and see where he comes back at. But
that's a good point, yeah.
I think you could swap Hanley and Tulo, depending on how worried you are about Tulowitzki.
And I think you're more worried than I am. Not that I'm completely unconcerned, because I get that he's probably overly aggressive so far this year. But I also think that the power is going to come, and it could come heavily.
Yeah. I mean, he did hit 15 home runs in a month once.
Wow. let's talk about some lineups. But lineups are changing. Players are batting in different spots. You tell me what really stands out to you. Danny Santana batted leadoff again for the Twins. Zach Cozart has been batting leadoff. Billy Hamilton has been batting about seventh, bottom of the order for the Reds. Eric Ibar, now we talked about Cole Calhoun batting cleanup. Ibar is now leading off. He's 39% owned. He's better than what he's been. Marcelo Zuna moved to second in the Miami order with Martin Prado batting cleanup. General manager, Dan Jennings, is that his name? Blank out his name there. He moved Marcelo Zuna up. Josh Harrison batted leadoff. He went 3-for-6 and was caught stealing. And Harrison, in his last eight games, he's batting over 500 with two home runs. But the leadoff thing, he was just replacing Gregory Polanco. I'm not sure who sat. He's been cold. I'm not sure where Harrison will end up. Delino DeShields batted second for Texas. He went 1-for-3 with a walk and a double and a steal. Leonis Martin batted seventh. I don't know about DeShields' ability to play center field, but I see him playing so much better than Martin. Maybe that means he stays in the lineup when Josh Hamilton comes back. I gave you a whole bunch of things there, lineup adjustments that managers are making. What stands out to you guys for fantasy?
Well, also, this is fantasy irrelevant and just generally irrelevant, but just a bad day yesterday for people named Dan Jennings in Major League Baseball, because the general manager lost his third game in embarrassing fashion. And the Dan Jennings that general manager Dan Jennings traded this offseason melted down.
There could only be one.
or none.
I'm shocked that the Reds have moved Billy Hamilton out of the leadoff spot. I wrote a blog post about 2 weeks ago writing about teams that had the worst situations in the leadoff spot, and they were one of them. And my analysis of it was that Billy Hamilton is going to hit leadoff for the Reds until the heat death of the universe. So I'm really surprised that they actually moved him out. And Cozart's getting on base this season. It's not something that he's done ever before. He's never had an on-base percentage above .290 before this season, so I don't know how long this is going to last. But I guess it's a good indication that they're shrugging off the Dusty Baker inside of themselves that's been lingering, because they're actually putting a guy who's getting on base in the leadoff spot.
I will say with Ozuna, I think that Jennings is just trying to, you know, throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks, and I don't expect that Ozuna will stay.
Like it. He is walking a bunch this season with Yelich struggling. I think that's probably their best option right now.
Right now, yeah. I imagine Yelich will ride himself and then he'll get back in that spot. It is interesting.
I like seeing DeShields batting in the top of the lineup. I'm really intrigued by what he's doing right now.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy I don't think if you picked him up, and he's owned in somewhere around 40% of leagues, the Leonard DeShields, I'm not sure you want to drop him in anticipation of Hamilton coming back. I do really want to see how they sort that out. Yeah, he's 38% owned. We got some time.
He was a decent on-base guy in the minors. He couldn't hit for power. Actually, he did hit for decent power. He struck out a lot. That was the issue with him. But he walked a decent amount for a high-speed guy. I think he could be a decent option at the top of their order.
Three up, two down. Oh, man. I don't remember who it was in our podcast league, but somebody traded Ian Desmond for Yasmani Grandal. Oh, man. You can't do that. You can't do that. And now Desmond is homered in two straight games. And this is what he did last year. Come on. You can't do that.
Don't overreact.
But, all right, well, what do you think of Desmond? Because he still only has one steal in three attempts and 10 walks, 45 strikeouts.
Yeah, the walk-to-strikeout ratio is not something I think you can reasonably expect to improve very much, but I think there will be more power on the way. Yeah, if he doesn't start running, that's a hit to his value for sure, but I still think it's shortstop, again, you know, where you've got that great abyss after the top six. Desmond's got value even with fewer steals.
And that was a one-catcher league, too. Come on. Can't do that. Ryan Howard, 37% owned. He's three up number two. And in the last 21 days, Howard is batting .324 with four home runs. And believe it or not, he's not been the top 12 first baseman in those 21 days. But he is hitting pretty well right now, even the games that aren't in Colorado. I seem to remember he went on a tear last year at some point, was garbage the rest of the time. So what are your thoughts on Howard?
I'm going to write a blog post today about the players with the biggest platoon splits, and it's going to be a daily fantasy focus thing, and I expect he's going to play into that. I like him daily when he's playing against right-handed pitchers, but he struggles too much against lefties over the last few seasons to consider him a starting first baseman.
And it's just so deep that, like, again, he's been good, but last 21 days, not even top 12. Jason Hayward. I've been getting some tweets about dropping Jason Hayward right now, and yeah, I think it's defensible. Maybe he's just overrated. What do you guys think about Hayward? He did homer yesterday, scored two runs, but not having a good year.
I get it. I understand the frustration, but I just think his upside's still too high. We're talking about a guy who's 25. You know, he's been frustrating the last few years, but he was still useful. And I think, you know, he's on pace for close to 2020, even while being disappointing. I think it's an overreaction.
I completely agree with that. And just for contrast, I've got him. I'm not even sure that I don't know if it's the same team, but I've got him benched. And I've got Jorge Soler benched. I at least have given some thought to dropping Soler. And it's a three outfielder league.
Yeah.
I haven't done it. I wouldn't even consider it with Hayward because somebody of his caliber, I mean, Soler hasn't really proven much at the major league level.
What is Hayward?
With Hayward, guys could heat up. You just talked about Ryan Howard. Chris Carter is starting to turn it around, and he did the same thing last year. And Chris Carter's not even on Hayward's level. Sometimes it takes more than a quarter of a season for these guys to reach their level.
Yeah, but I really don't think Jason Hayward has proven much since, was it his rookie year that he was great? I mean,
he's the Strasburg of hitters. I almost said the hitters of Strasburg. He's the Strasburg of hitters because people just have such unreasonably high expectations for him that even when he performs really well and is like a top 20, 25 outfielder, it's not enough.
Well, I mean, look,
he hit 270 with 27 home runs, 21 steals in 2012.
And then he hasn't come close.
270 with 11 home runs, 20 steals.
Yeah, but I mean, he slugged 384. Outfielder who slugs .384. I mean, I know the steals were nice, but I mean, the year before that, he slugged .427. That's not very good for an outfielder. So I feel like, okay, he's kind of Hosmer-like, right? Like 2010 was great, his rookie season. 2011 was bad. 2012 was great again. 2013 was bad. He did not bounce back really in 2014. He had an okay year. So I guess maybe you learn a lesson with Hosmer, who's young and has had some inconsistencies, and he's put it all together. But the big difference is Hayward's been total crap this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's hitting a ton of ground balls right now. So the power is a concern. But I think I guess if you're in a 10-team league with three outfielders and a three-man bench, you could drop him. But, like, I still think he's going to be a top 50 outfielder.
Okay. Two down. Jock Peterson is in two down. He is batting 167 in his last 12 games. Did we miss the window to sell high on Jock Peterson, or is this just a little slump?
Well, I think he probably did, because I don't know that he'll ever this season get back to those heights. But yeah, it's yes to both questions. I mean, I think probably you missed the best window to sell high on him, but this to me is just a slump.
And Jake Marisnyk is he went 2-for-4 yesterday, but he's struggling right now. Last 14 games for Marisnyk, batting 156 with a 188 on-base percentage and a 178 slugging percentage. This was before yesterday.
Yeah, and I remember not buying into mm-hmm. him when he was doing well.
Yep. And they moved him back down to ninth in the order, I think. If not ninth, then eighth. But he was batting leadoff for a bit.
He's been better in the few games since they dropped him down the order.
All right, well, he's 73% owned. Is he the kind of guy you'd be okay dropping for, you know, some other position that you want to pick up? You know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
It depends. I like his speed. I like the way that they've been letting him run. And I think he does have 25 stolen base potential, if not significantly more. I think he'd get to 30. So it really depends. In a roto league, I'm probably not dropping him.
And would you rather have Jake Marisnyk or Delino DeShields?
I'd rather have Marisnyk.
Yeah, Marisnyk.
Got a bunch of fringy starting pitchers here. I'm going to read the names, and you just tell me your top three, and then we'll grade some trades. Bartolo Colon, he has a 7.04 ERA in May. Shane Green, pitching well again. Carlos Martinez, good call by Chris yesterday. It was a good lineup for him to face. Not a lot of fierce lefties there, and Martinez pitched great against the Mets. Carlos Rodon, Drew Hutchison, Tim Lincecum, Wei-Yin Chen, Kyle Loesch, Brett Anderson, Chase Anderson, David Phelps.
Jeez. Martinez, Green. I'll go Rodon over Colon. That rhymed.
It did. yeah, I'm going. Yeah, Green, Martinez, Rodon.
All right. Same three, different order. Now a little bit deeper down, we got the Andersons and Phelps. How would you rate Brett Anderson, Chase Anderson, David Phelps?
I had a hard time picking an Anderson for Daly last night. I think I might have picked the wrong one, too. I took Brett. Let's see. So, yeah, I think I would actually go that order. Brett Anderson, Chase Anderson, David Phelps.
Yeah, I mean, Chase Anderson, 2.54 ERA, 1.03 whip. And a 1.03 ERA in May. He's pitching well.
Now, you know, all first, and I do like Chase Anderson, but the Marlins, they're just a bad baseball team
right now.
They're
in a bad place.
Yeah.
They're having issues.
I was actually thinking about this, because I'm a big Marcelo Zuna believer for whatever reason. I just feel like there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to hit the same amount of home runs he hit last year.
He's good.
But are you worried about this team with this manager? You know, like, they didn't fire their hitting coach, but should we be worried that they're just going to be terrible now with Dan Jennings as their manager?
I don't think so. My bigger concern is actually the guy at the top. If Loria tries to sell off parts of this team,
which I don't think he can. I don't think he can get away with it at this point.
Well, and plus he's made it harder on himself with the signing guys to long-term contracts.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, think that he could sell what he could. That's my bigger concern. I think if he leaves the roster alone, I actually think that this is a playoff contending team that at worst should be about 500. That just is just going through one of those stretches right now that most teams go through.
I think pick on them for DFS right now.
Yeah.
Like they're a good team to take advantage of for starting pitchers.
Grade the trade. We've got Lucas in Somerset, Michigan. Dear Reese's, Snickers, and whatchamacallit. Ooh, let's rank those.
Whatchamacallit, I think, is number one. That's the one with like the pretzel inside of it, right?
I think you're thinking of a Take Five.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah,
which is which might be the best candy that a lot of people have never even heard of.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
I don't remember what's in a whatchamacallit.
It's good.
I just know from memory that this is the right order. Reese's, Snickers, whatchamacallit.
I agree, but these are three powerhouses here. But yeah, Take Five is incredible. Go have one. 12-team mixed points league. I have pitching depth, but I need infielders. I gave up Garrett Richards. I got Todd Frazier.
I think I'm okay with it.
Without context, I'm giving it an even C. So I'm just going over the contextual extra credit possibility here. Yeah, I think given the needs, I'll go C plus.
Yeah, B minus.
From Jeremy in a small town in Maryland, grade the trade, Ray, Finn, and Poe for the nerds out there.
I'm not nerdy enough for this.
Hmm. Anibal Sanchez.
Star Wars. It's from the new Star Wars.
There you go. Give up Brett Gardner, get Anibal Sanchez. Give up Gardner, get Sanchez.
I'm giving that a D.
Yeah, I don't like it. From Jay in New York. Grade the trade. Dear Slippy, Slappy, and Swanson. I think that is what Jim Carrey says when he's trying to remember Mary Swanson's name.
Yes.
And then he settles on Samsonite, which is amazing. I was way off. Okay. This is a crazy trade. I give Michael Taylor and Michael Bourne. I get Michael Wacha. That's like an A. That's an A plus, honestly.
Why did you have Michael Bourne? yeah, I think that's an A.
It is an A.
A plus. If there's ever an A plus, that's gotta be an A plus.
I mean, he got the best Michael in the deal.
That's good. Good point. From Jeff, grade the trade. Dear Claire, Phil, and Mitchell. That's Modern Family.
Yes.
10-team AL-only Roto League. Give up Torrey Hunter. Get Carlos Correa and Taijuan Walker in a 10-team AL-only Roto League. Give up Hunter. Get Correa and Walker.
A plus? A?
I'm not sure I agree with you there.
That.
Yeah, Chris.
Really?
Nah, I mean, if this is Dynasty, yeah, I'm good with that. And look, I would rather have Hunter's the player I would least want to have in this, just from like a fun perspective. It would be so fun to have Correa and Walker, but I'm not sure I'm going to get anything for either of them. This is a deep format where Hunter's not easily replaced.
You put Billy Burns in the outfield spot. Billy Burns isn't guaranteed of a starting spot for the rest of the season, so I get that. I think screw it, go for upside.
I'm going to go even C on this.
I love it.
Okay.
I love the upside play.
I give it A for fun.
I'm all about fun.
Expected value.
All right, full disclosure, I have not had time to dig into DFS. But again, we have Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern to help you out.
Yeah, watch the guys that know stuff.
I don't know. I'll give you the pitchers.
It's a pretty crappy pitcher slate.
We're talking night games here.
You give the slate and then I'll tell you.
All right, we got Danny Salazar. This is by price. Danny Salazar at the White Sox. Matt Shoemaker at Toronto. Julio Teheran against Milwaukee. Clay Buchholz against Texas. That might be who I go with. R.A. Dickey against the Angels. Jesse Chavez at Tampa. Matt Garza at Atlanta. John Danks at the White Sox. Against Cleveland. Wandy Rodriguez at Boston, Alex Colome against Oakland, Kyle Hendricks at San Diego, and I think we have Adrisa Mertespagne a little bit lower than that. That's it.
All right, so you're thinking Buchholz?
Well, now I have Salazar.
Yeah.
But I could see myself gambling.
Popular choice, but he worries me, and I know he probably shouldn't, because the White Sox, I mean, you know, they didn't torch Sean Markham. So I shouldn't be worried about Salazar. But I do worry about Salazar at U.S. Cellular Field. I really do. So I'm leaning towards Jesse Chavez.
That's the one I was thinking.
Very close between him and Julio Teheran.
I am totally in on that. I will go with Jesse Chavez at Tampa. Yeah, Teheran I just can't trust. There's no way. Some guys I just saw recently.
It's Brewers, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, like the Marlins beat up on Teheran, didn't they? Or was that the one team?
I wouldn't say they beat up on him. Wasn't a good start by Toronto.
Yeah, the Brewers, like, Gomez is hitting really well and Braun's on fire.
Yeah.
So
Adam Lind kills righties.
And Toronto's just too expensive. He's the third most expensive pitcher.
I think I like, it's $600 more than Chavez. Well, I, you know, that is an equal price. I probably do go Tehran, but I think for me that's the tiebreaker.
Now, I've got this weird theory about some players. Like, R.A. Dickey has been awful his last two times out, but I feel like he's due for a good one. Even though you'd think Angels in Toronto against R.A. Dickey, they should be able to hit a bunch of home runs. I feel like that might be a trap. What do you think?
I just feel like R.A. Dickey, it doesn't matter what he's done recently. Like, it just, there's no, like, he's not somebody that you can look at like, oh, this, and this are off. So he's going to get better or worse based on what he's doing. I think it's just, he hasn't been good. Maybe he will be good in the future. Like, I don't think it matters.
All right, how about first base? Jose Abreu, he's 3,600. That's the fourth most expensive first baseman. This is just the night slate. He is 2-for-5 with two home runs against Danny Salazar. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but I also think he's just due.
He's just he's really low. 3,600 for him. It's really good value.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to buy into another small sample size, Alexi Ramirez is 8-for-10 with a home run against Danny Salazar. I imagine he's pretty cheap. So you could maybe, you know, get a bargain there. Yeah, he's quite cheap. He's like crazy cheap, but shortstops are terrible.
I'm always a big fan of going with platoon stuff. So I think I'll have some Adam Lind against Tehran. And I will be avoiding David Ortiz against a lefty, even if it's not a good lefty.
All right, anything else, guys?
That's all I got.
Watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. on CBSSports.com.
I should have said that.
Yeah, and maybe Justin Upton, he's been really good, and Kyle Hendricks has been really bad. So that might be a guy you target. And that's going to do it for Fantasy Baseball Today. Thank you guys for listening out there. We're back tomorrow to help you out with your Week 8 lineup. Chris Towers out, Melchior. Goodbye.
See you.
Goodbye, Adam.
I'm Adam Azer. Nerds out.